and his countenance had fallen in the presence of the king. He was worried he was going to lose his head because nobody was allowed to frown in the presence of the king. And for you and me, on an individual level, we act like we don't want to hear the negative. So we heap to ourselves teachers, having itching ears, not willing to endure sound doctrine. The Bible says that's a mark of the last days. You can read it in 2 Timothy 4. You see, the Bible tells us these things are going to happen. Wicked men are going to be deceiving and waxing worse and worse. And the Bible says it's going to be good that they're going to see it as good that the Christians are gone. They're going to see it as good that everything's normalized. And you're going to see it as good that everything's wicked. And they're not going to repent of what? Their fornications, their sorceries, their murders. They're not going to repent of any of that. And they're going to be happy. And they're going to worship the Antichrist. They're going to worship the devil, ultimately, because he gave them power. And it's going to be supernaturally animated. That means that all of the media is going to say, yeah! Do you not find it amazing that when you listen to the radio and the Dow Jones is up, they're like celebrating, wow, we had a rally today. When it's down, they just say, well, it's down today 50 points and moving on to next week. You know, it's not like a big tragedy when it goes down. But boy, when it goes up, they make you feel like, boy, we're in the money. Happy days are here again. I mean, it's crazy. But more than crazy, it's sinister. Because we are like a frog in the kettle and we are slowly being boiled to death and we don't even know it. We are being inoculated to the severity and seriousness of the hour. And rather than being struck at attention, we are slowly allowed to stay slumbering in a time where people are really at the cusp of eternity and locking in their eternal soul's destination. The Bible says in verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy. Wait a minute, we're going to move back to 5. It says there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things, and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. If you underline the words 42 months, that's what? That's 3.5 years. I always said, I lost my thumb, part of it for a reason. It was 3.5 years, okay? You can laugh, it's okay, I've had this a long time. Alright, and that's a half a thumb, and I lost it when I was about 3, so I'm over it, okay? But God knew I was going to be a preacher and telling you today, 3.5, and you'll never forget it. The first 3.5, he is the consummate politician, given to civility, trying to make everybody think he can wear a suit just like the best of them, and talk and act just as proper as anybody. But the moment that he comes into that Jerusalem city and sets himself down on the Holy of Holies that has been rebuilt and repositioned in its proper place, the moment that he declares that he is God, he will have 42 months to raise up blasphemies against God overtly. Up to this point, it's sort of like, bring us all together, let's get along. But for 42 months, I take it as the last 42, he's going to show his colors, and the whole world's going to worship the dragon, the whole world's going to worship him, and they're going to be glad to do it. Verse 6 says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Not just against God, but against His name and against His tabernacle and against all them that dwell therein. Probably speaking of heaven and all of the saints and citizens of heaven. We saw this in chapter 11 of Daniel some months ago when we preached from that about a man coming up and speaking and talking about changing the times and the seasons and all this. Folks, I'm telling you, we're right on the cusp of it. I believe it with all my heart. And what we're seeing right before us in this passage is that this guy is going to come out of the shadows. He's not going to play nice anymore after the first 3.5 years. And in the time of the great tribulation, he will blaspheme God himself. Not gods, not all the gods, not all of the religions, but the God of heaven. Because he's in Jerusalem. He's making himself out to be God, and he declares himself to be God and above all that is God. So what we actually see from this guy is that he is in fact the little horn of Daniel 7:8. He is the king of fierce countenance in chapter 8, verse 23 of Daniel. He is the prince that shall come in chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 26. And the willful king of chapter 11 in verse 36 and following in Daniel. He is the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. He is the Antichrist John spoke of and Jesus prophesied would come. He is the abomination of desolation that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. Folks, this is the Antichrist. He is the epitome of everything man could possibly conjure into human form. He He will stand, as it were, metaphorically, if not in reality, head and shoulders above everyone. He will probably be a very handsome person. The Bible says in chapter 11 of Daniel, he will speak with such fluidity and clarity and beauty and wonder, everybody will be in awe. And folks, it's going to be a time where everybody's going to say, sign me up, and they're going to worship him. Now, I have a real problem with a president who says, no, contrary to what you may have heard, I was not born in a manger. Our present sitting president has said that as if it's funny. Aha! However, I am here to save the world, he said. Now, I don't think he's it. I really don't. But I'm telling you, we're on the edge of it when we can tolerate such behavior and say it's okay. It's no big deal. Jesus is just another guy. Doesn't matter. No, Jesus is God. And he's the Savior of the world, and no man can hold a candle to Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. And he hates Jesus. The devil hates Jesus, and Antichrist hates Jesus. And he will speak blasphemies, the Bible says, for 42 months. He will say it out loud, and he will say it specifically and deliberately. Verse 7 says, and it was given unto him to make war against the saints. What saints? I thought we were raptured. That's right. But don't forget chapter 7. A multitude of people will come out of great tribulation having trusted in Jesus. They will experience all of the plagues of the tribulation. They will experience the burning from the fiery sun, which will be heated up tenfold, and scorched earth that will take place when meteors fall, and thirst that comes because the water's made bitter. They will experience the stinging, and they will experience the burnings, and they will experience the boils, and they will experience the darkness. But because they endure to the end, there will be a ton of saints. The Bible says a great multitude, because it will be clear. Jesus is God. This guy is not. But you only have one choice. Either take the mark or die. And so the Bible says he is given power to make war with the saints. And it says in verse 7, to overcome them. Mass martyrdom, mass murder, mass extinguishing of people, genocide, if you will, if you would call it a generation of saints who are related, if you will, by blood and by new birth. They are saints, though. Don't miss the word saints, beloved. Saints are not people who are dead that somebody turns around and says, well, they were so good. Well, call them a saint. The saints are people who have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ on their account. Because they know He is God. They know He died for their sins. They know He bled and suffered for what they should have. And they throw all of their hope, all of their trust, all of their any kind of optimism about a future in eternity in the presence of God in Jesus' corner and says, He's my hero. I will be loved in the Beloved, not by works of righteousness which we can do, but through His mercy He saves us. The Bible says it is not of works. It is all of grace, and no one can boast. The Bible says it is Jesus by faith alone, in Christ alone, through grace alone. Beloved, that's our gospel, that's our truth. And these guys are made saints because they believe God. Not believe in Him, believe God. And God said, whosoever shall call upon Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. It never ends. How cool is that? Man, you know what that means. Did you hear it? Did you see the mirror go up? You are the saints today, if you know my Jesus. Man, I'm in some pretty serious company this morning. I better straighten up. Beloved, it's all because of Jesus. Amen. He had power to overcome them. And the Bible says, and he killed them with the sword. And with the sword they must be killed. It would talk about here in a moment. But it says he had power to overcome them, and power was given him over all the kindreds and tongues, and that all the people that dwell upon the earth should worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's that book of life again. Well, what is that? Well, it's the book of life that they were written passively in the old, way back before time began. God looked down through the corridors of time. The Bible says He foreknew. He foreknew. Listen, salvation unfolded because God said, you know what? I know it's going to be a mess. I know there's going to be abortion in mass. 1.5 million babies every year are going to be slaughtered. I know there's going to be wars and world wars. I know there's going to be plague and pestilence and famine. I know there's going to be truckloads burying in mass graves in countries with with bulldozers. I know that tragedy and that terrible stuff is going to happen. But you know, I'm looking down through the corridors of time and I'm seeing some sparkles. Oh, there's some jewels and there's some gems. There's some believers. If I'll go and I'll die for them, some will believe. And he said, there's one. And he started writing it down. And before he ever let the garden be mapped out, and before he ever formed man out of the dust of the earth, he saw you, if you know him today. And he wrote your name in a book. And he put it down, and it's the Lamb's Book of Life. And he says, I will go. And he sticks his arm down through the fiery furnace. And he arrives at Calvary. And he right there at the cusp of all of time, right at the split of time, he arrives there and he offers himself. He says, no man takes my life. I give it freely. I lay it down freely because the Good Shepherd does that. That's what he does. He lays down his life for the sheep. And he knew your name and he wrote it down, and it was from eternity past. The Bible says he foreknew, and these he predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so that's what God's doing in your life. But here's the point. These people who did not have their name and he did not foresee, their names aren't in that book. And I'm going to shut it down right now because I don't want to keep you too long, and I've not even got to the false prophet yet. But I want you to ask yourself, are you in the book of life? Do you believe? When you heard about Jesus, did your spirits kind of perk up? Or do you say, oh yeah, Jesus, I've heard about Him all my life. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I believed when I was a little kid. Oh really? No appetite? Don't want to be in church? Don't like God? Don't get excited when you hear us talking about the things to come? And how wonderful it is, we're going to have heaven, streets of gold, glassy sea, all rivers of life flowing freely that you can drink. Oh, the trees with all these fruit that will just heal the nations. Man, it's going to be a party. It's going to be joy. The Bible says at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. In His presence is fullness of joy. Paul, the Bible says to Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising shame. He took that shame of nakedness, that shame of defeat. Have you ever been defeated before somebody when it wasn't your fault and you didn't deserve it and you thought, man, that's terrible? He did that. He looked like a failure. He looked dead. He was dead. And He endured it. Why? Because He said, God, glorify me. Father, glorify Thou me now with the glory I had with You before the worlds began. He thought it not a thing to be held on to be equal with God, but humbled Himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross, the most cruel implement of death that ever was devised by the mind of man. He could not breathe on that cross, for as He hung there, His lungs were collapsed. He'd writhe up like a snake to get some breath. And then He'd go back down, and His hands were hung by nails. His feet were penetrated, and His body naked and ribboned with whips. Torn flesh. Beloved, this is our God, and He's coming again. And He's told us how it's going to be. And in the Bible it says that there's going to be a man who's going to make a mark go on everybody's hand, and it's here. It just needs to take a little hop, skip, and a jump from the back of everything you buy to your hand. And then you can say goodbye to all your plastic. Folks, we're on the cusp and God called it. That's why we know He's God. And only you can decide whether you will respond to His plea, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly. My burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You say it's easy being a Christian? No, what he means is it's just what you were created for. It fits perfectly. Sole end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And beloved, this morning, I don't know where you are, but if you've never been born again, God loves you so much that He gave you all this book to tell you how much He loves you. And because it was so hard for you to believe that you might just be a saint of a holy God, He tells you in every possible way, washing us with the water by the Word of God. And the more you read it, the more you realize it. But we don't read it because the devil is afoot. And he puts us in the ditch, and he turns up the TV, and he turns up the radio, and he turns up the activity, and you get squeezed away. And so I see it like a shadow. Me, a saint? Yeah, you. If you know Jesus, He's imputed to you His righteousness. He didn't just take your sin and die for your sin. He gave you credit for His righteousness. He put it all on your account. It's not because you're so good. In fact, the Bible talks about us being born again because we start out as babies. You know what babies do? Babies throw up on people. I mean, my baby, my grandbaby, he drools on me. But I still hold him. I just kind of wipe it off and kind of, and then I get back to it, you know. Try not to let it bother me, but he drools. And in our house, droolers rule. And I want you to know in God's house, droolers rule too, because He knows you're weak and He knows you're broken and He knows you're twisted inside and that our world is pressing you on every hand. And He sends forth His Spirit inside of you crying, Abba, Father. And when you say, God, help me, He delivers. Because that's what God is. He's a good Father. Now, beloved, where are you today? The beast out of the sea is coming. I really don't think there's any way you can argue that it's on the horizon. The United States of Europe is back. Israel's back. Every day there's something in there about Israel. What's that all about? It's because it's coming to its apogee. And if it's coming to its apogee, we got a 7-year lead time that we need to be worried about, because if it's as close as it seems, rapture could be any minute. Have you been born again? It's only one way. The Bible says you must be born again. If you've never been born again, you can be. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not just calling because you think, I got to get my fire insurance and cheap grace, but believing in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead for your sins. Understanding that He died so that you could be set free from sin. A lot of people come to salvation, quote unquote, because they want to be saved, but they don't want to be saved from sin. They want their sin. So don't tell yourself you're saved if you don't want to be saved from sin. If you don't see sin as a problem, then probably you're not getting it. This morning, are you saved? Are you in that book of life? Only you and God know, really.